How many say, I've learned my verse, I'm going to stand and say it right now.
I'll start with the first part. John 14:14. That's all I have.
Okay.
John 14:14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She got a star, you didn't. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. If ye shall ask. Don't forget that one. Shall.
Shall.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. I will do it, and praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, He keeps His promises, because God cannot lie. Amen. Let's see. Anybody else? Anybody else?
I didn't know that was our verse.
You didn't know that was our verse?
Preoccupied.
Oh. Well. Well, I'll forgive you this time. Get some 3x5 cards, and on the blank side, put your John 14:14. On the line side, write out very carefully the verse, and work on it. Don't just think, well, I got this memorized. Okay? Because next week you won't have it memorized. John 14:14. And you want to be able to bring these to memory, from your memory. All right, tonight.
Are we going to have another verse tomorrow night?
Yeah, this is it for tomorrow night.
Two 3x5 cards.
Oh, bring them all. There's going to be 5 this week, okay, brother? I might give you 6 just because I'm a mean teacher. All right. So the new verse, Psalm 95:6. Psalm 95:6. You put that on the blank side, and on the line side, you write, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 95:6. All right, let's try it. Do you have it before you? Turn in the Bible to Psalm 95:6. Psalm 95. Psalms is that big book in the Old Testament. I used to say it's right in the middle of the Bible, but it's not. It's pretty close, but not quite. Psalm 95:6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 95:6. There are several things that we learn from that verse. I'm going to preach from that verse here in a minute. But one of them is that we have a Creator. This world's in a mess because they forgot that we have a Creator. They think they're the process of evolution, that they were an accident. That's why we have kids and young people and even adults that act like animals, because there is no God in their heart and their life. They are the process of evolution. And if you believe the Discovery Channel and all the other channels around PBS, you just think you're just another animal. You're just like a dog or a monkey. And that's not true. The Lord made us. He created us. A special act of creation. He formed us out of the dust of the earth and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's not said of the animals. So we are a special act of creation. But also, it talks about worship. Worship. And something that I think we as Christians have forgotten in this day and age is this matter of worship. So that's your song, that's your verse for tomorrow night. And there'll be a test, Dave. You've got 2 verses for tomorrow night. Amen. You too. Amen, Bill. All right. Psalm 95:6. So if you're there, what's the job an evangelist is sent here to do? That's not it, Bill. Make you uncomfortable. That's right. So let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. Amen.
Great.
All right.
But you don't make us stand up.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Psalm 95, verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have tonight to be here. Lord, it is a privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, there's so many other things that could draw us away from here. And there's things on TV we could be watching. There's times that we could spend at the beach or whatever. All the shopping outlets are open. But Lord, we're here in the house of the Lord. And I ask, dear God, that you'd just do a work in our midst. And Lord, help us to not think of this as some kind of a sacrifice that we have made for you to come to the house of God. But it's a privilege that we're here. And I ask, dear God, that you'd do a work in our midst in a special way. That the Holy Spirit of God would work in each heart. And perchance there's someone that's not saved. I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. Have your will and way in this service. Lord, it's not what we want, but it's what you want. And I pray you'll do the work in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, come. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. It's this matter of worship. And in the Hebrew, there are three Hebrew words that are used throughout the Old Testament for the word worship. And it means to prostrate in homage, fall down, humbly beseech, do reverence. In the Greek, there are six words that are used for the word worship. And they mean to kiss like a dog, licking his master's hand. Stay by the master's side in obedience, adoring him. Dignity, honor, praise, glory. To be pious, to respect, serve, to minister. So we find that the word worship all boils down to this. It's a matter of humility for us as we bow before the Lord our Maker. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And I think this verse encapsulates exactly what we should do when it comes to this matter of worship. We know that the Bible says that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's something that's ultimately going to happen. It's not happening now, but it will ultimately happen. Every knee will bow. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, the word humble means to bend your knee. To bend your knee. So if we're going to bend our knee, it's an act of humility before God. I want you to think about this thing called worship. You know, many times we call our services worship services, but many times they're really not worship services. It's just something we do. It's something we do. And I've been to a lot of churches, and you know, you sing the hymns, and after a while, you know, you've sung the same hymn over and over and over again. You know it by heart. You don't even need to open the book. It's not a matter of worship anymore. It's just something that you do. There's no meaning to it anymore. You sing the hymn. There's no meaning to the prayers. I remember when I was a kid, the pastor would ask Deacon so-and-so to close in prayer. I always hated it when he asked Deacon so-and-so to close in prayer. It was the same prayer every time. And Deacon so-and-so didn't know when to shut up. He just kept on praying for things that didn't matter. And he would quote scripture, and he would... And it just became a habit. It was something he did. I remember I pastored a little church in Iowa, and there was this old gentleman that came, and he was a Lutheran. But I'm going to tell you something. He was saved. He knew Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And I had talked to him many times. He wasn't a member of our church. He said he just came with the building because we bought an old Lutheran church building. And, of course, we changed the sign to Baptist. And he said he just came with the building. But anyhow, one Sunday morning after the service, I asked him to stand and pray. And he stood, and he reached in his pocket, pulled out a piece of paper, and slowly unfolded it. And I thought, oh no, here we go. But he prayed a prayer where he got in touch with God. A prayer, folks, it might have been written down on paper, but it was from the heart. And he literally worshiped God. And I want to tell you something. He moved the whole church by that one prayer. If we could just get a hold of God the way that man got a hold of God. See, we don't have to be Baptist. We don't have to be Lutheran. We don't have to be Presbyterian, whatever it may be. But if we could just get a hold of God. This man knew something about worship. I'd go to his home and he was a clockmaker. Oh, some of the most beautiful grandfather clocks I ever saw in my life. He made them by hand. Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful work. And I said, oh, you've got such a talent. He says, no, no, no. You just don't understand. That's not my talent. What you see there is what God did. Folks, I want you to understand something. He knew what it was to be in contact with God. He knew what it was to walk with God. He knew what it was to worship God. And I thought to myself at that time, oh, if I could just get a hold of God like he has. You know something? We as Baptists, we're so busy. We get busy. And we forget everything in our life should rotate around one thing. And that's God's will and what God wants for us. I want you to think about this matter of worship. And remember those definitions that I gave, especially the Greek definition, to kiss like a dog, licking his master's hand, or to stay by the master's side in obedience. Boy, I'll tell you what, we're so proud in this day and age. We don't want to come to an altar and bend our knee because somebody might say something. Or we don't want to let people think that we're fanatics for God. But listen, I want to tell you something. We can be fanatics for everything else, but not for God. And we need to realize that it wouldn't hurt just a little bit to be a fanatic for God. I want you to notice some things. We're going to make an acrostic out of the word worship, and I'll preach quick, and we'll be done in an hour or two. All right, W is the will. Will. Look, if you will, over here. If you will, over here in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And notice what it says here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 23. Now, the verse, all I want to do is get one thing out of this verse. So the verse isn't really that important. It's what's in the verse that's important that we need to get. Because I'm really taking this out of context, but what's important is what I'm going to get out of here. Notice it says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will, worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, let's draw this out right here. Will, worship. The word will, words, will, worship is talking about voluntary worship. So it's a matter, and it's an act of the will. This is something that we determine that we're going to do. I'm going to use my will to do this. Matter of fact, it's not something that comes naturally. It's something that we're going to have to think about. I want to worship God. And if I want to worship God, I'm determined that there's time and there's a place. Maybe it's every minute of every day. Whatever it is, I will worship the Lord. Look back here in Psalm 138. The book of Psalms. and go to the 138th Psalm. And notice what it says down here in Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2. This is a psalm of David. And by the way, David is good at this. But it says here in verses 1 and 2, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. I want you to think about this with me. David knew what it was to direct his will toward God and say, I will worship. I am determining to do this. I'm not going to let anything stand in the way. And too many times we let things stand in the way of what we want to accomplish with God. It's a matter of prayer. If we're going to bend a knee, humble ourselves before God, it's a matter of prayer. When we bend a knee and we bow before Him, we get to thinking of all the different things we should be doing rather than what we are doing. And we think about how busy we are, and maybe I could accomplish more by doing something else instead of what I'm doing now. Listen, I want to tell you something. There's nothing more important than this. If we're worshiping God, that's the most important thing we can do. Is worship. I will worship. This is a matter of the will. And we get to thinking about, oh, you know, maybe I should be reading my Bible rather than... No. When we worship God, worship the Lord. Matter of fact, we can make Bible reading worship. A.W. Tozer, it's been told that A.W. Tozer never read his Bible unless he was on his knees. Can you imagine such... I tried that. I did. I tried it for about 2 days, and I said, I can't do this. I can't read my Bible on my knees. It's impossible. I don't know how he did that. I had the sorest knees in 2 days, and you can't accomplish something that somebody else can accomplish. But at the same time, I want to get close to God. And if I want to get close to God, the road to getting close to God, of course, is through Jesus Christ. But it's worship. We're drawn close through this matter of where we fall in love with the Lord and everything about Him and what He's doing for us and what He's done for us and what He continues to do. We just need to worship Him. So it's a matter of the will. It's voluntary. It's not something I can force you to do. Dave, I expect you up here worshiping God. That doesn't work. That's the Muslim way to do things. They point a gun at somebody and say, "That you trust Allah, or else we're going to shoot you." Well, you're going to have to shoot me. I can't trust Allah.
Amen.
And listen, forced religion never works. You go through history and religion has always tried to force themselves upon somebody. And it never worked. There were too many false professions. Listen, I've seen Baptists that have forced people to pray prayers, and it doesn't work. Later on, that person's going around saying, I only prayed because he was there. To get him off my back, I prayed. And that's a forced worship. I don't want to be forcing anybody to do anything. You can't force them. It's got to be a voluntary thing. And by the way, if the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart and says, you need to get down on your knees, then you do it.
Amen.
He's not going to force you to do it. It's voluntary. But He can touch your heart and say, you need to do it. So it's the will. Then next, Psalm 99, if you will. Psalm 99. I want you to... The O... and worship our God. O-U-R, our God. Notice what it says in Psalm 99 and verse 5. It says, exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Look at verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Our God. Let me ask you a question. Is He your God? Can you say our God? Many times, think about the model prayer in the book of Matthew. And Matthew chapter 6. And the Lord taught them to pray, our Father. which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now think about it. Our Father. See, that's possession. Possession. Our. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. See, that's possession. And He's mine. I like to think of it this way. I'm His. We talked about that this morning. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We belong to Him. Why do we belong to Him? Because He purchased us.
Amen.
Purchased us. How did He purchase us? With His blood. He purchased us. And because of the blood, I'm saved. I placed my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood was applied to me. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved. Boy, what a great hymn. But think about this. Not only do I belong to Him, but He belongs to me. Because we have a relationship now. Because I become an heir alongside Him. I have become His, basically, according to the Word of God, I've become His brother. Why? Because I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, our Father. You know, many times when we think of our Father, we're putting each other into that group. No, I think it's our Father because Jesus Christ is standing next to us. Our Father. My shepherd is Jesus, but my shepherd and me together, it's our Father. And it's a possession that we have. Listen, I had a dad growing up, and I want to tell you something. My dad was very special to me. My dad, I love my dad very much. And he was always there for me, always took care of me. I only remember my dad getting mad at me one time in my whole life. I deserved more than that, but he got mad at me one time. And it was because I decided I was going to do something stupid. And I did it. Me and another friend of mine, we decided to dye our hair. And so I was going to dye my hair red. It didn't turn out red. It turned out, well, it kind of red, but it was more blondish red than red. It looked awful. I never seen my dad so mad in all of my life. Boy, he was mad at me. And I think very seriously he could have killed me that day. But only by the grace of God, he didn't do it. And praise God for that. Amen. But my dad was so special to me. But folks, he was my dad. See, that's my dad. I remember going to the funeral, and my dad was in the casket, and I said, that's my dad. I remember a fella that, very close to our family, his name was Dave, and another Dave, he was standing there, he said, your dad was special. I said, yeah, my dad was special. But he's my dad. Folks, I want to tell you something. He's my Father. My Father. My shepherd. That's possession. Not only do I belong to them, they belong to me. They belong to me. So when it comes to this matter of worship, it says here in verse 5, Psalm 99, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. The Lord our God. Make sure that you can call Him your God. Amen? Somebody say, well, preacher, that's so easy. No. Wait a minute. If it was so easy, why didn't everybody just do it? If worship was easy, why do we still have empty chairs? Why is it like pulling teeth to get people to come to the altar? Why is it so hard to get people to bend a knee to the Lord Jesus Christ? The R in worship is reverence. Reverence. Look, if you will, over here in Matthew chapter 4. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, there's a confrontation going on between Jesus and the old devil himself, the old slewfoot. And we're getting down to the end here in verses 9 and 10. And matter of fact, this is the last hurrah for Satan right here. But I want you to notice down here in verse 9, "And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." That was Satan talking to Jesus. Now notice what Jesus says in verse 10. "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Now I want you to think about this. It says in verse 10, now this is Jesus talking to Satan. "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now Jesus is actually quoting from the Old Testament. He's using scripture against old slewfoot. But I want you to think about this. He uses different words than what's found in the Old Testament. Let's go to the Old Testament. Please don't say that I told you that Jesus misquoted scripture. That's not what I'm saying. But I want you to notice what it says here. Look back here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Notice verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name." Thou shalt, what? Fear the Lord thy God, and serve him. Now, back here in Matthew, hold your finger there. Don't lose what we've got going on here. He says to Satan, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God." Okay, now over here in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Notice what it says. Down here in verse 20, I believe it is. "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name." Back here in Matthew chapter 4, it says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now, worship and fear are the two words that we're talking about. Jesus says to Satan, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God." Now, back there in Deuteronomy, it says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord our God." Now, think about this for a minute. Do you think for a minute that Satan feared Jesus? No, I don't think there was any fear there. If there was any fear, he wouldn't have tempted the Lord Jesus Christ in the first place. There was no fear. But Jesus made it very plain that worship was what he should be doing rather than what he was doing. He was quoting from the Old Testament. The word fear back there in the Old Testament has to do with reverence. It has to do with being frightened and to bow before him, to revere the Lord. So it's the same thing. It's the same thought process back here in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. When we worship the Lord, we fear him. When we have a proper fear of God, we will reverence him. Now, I don't believe that fear and worship are basically the same thing, but I do believe that if we have a proper fear, we will worship the Lord our God. And if we have a proper fear of God, our knees will bend. We won't have to have somebody twist our arm to do it, and we certainly won't have to have God tell us to do it. We will worship the Lord. Now, it's a matter of reverence. You know, we honor certain people. We honor somebody that's a politician. We honor them. Why, I don't know. But we do honor them. And they could even be as wicked can be. And we present them with honor because of the position they're in. Think about God. Here's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Here's the one that has the power of life and death. Here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What should we do? I'm going to tell you something. When we see Him, we'll bow before Him. John, over there in Revelation chapter 1, when he saw Jesus, what did he do? He fell at His feet as if He were dead. See, that's a proper reverence. That's a fear. And that's worship. And that's what we should do when we think about the Lord. And that's what we should do every day as we get up and want to serve Him. We should worship Him. You know something? It shouldn't be a process of, well, you know, I don't want anybody to see me in this position. Oh my goodness. If we could just fall on our face before God and worship Him. Look, if you will, over here in Psalm 66. We're going to move on real quick. But notice in Psalm 66, the next letter in the word worship, W-O-R-S, is shall. I want you to notice Psalm 66 and verse 4. Psalm 66 and verse 4. All the earth. Now think about this. All the earth. Now the next word is shall worship Thee and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name, Selah. All the earth. What? Shall worship Thee. So immediately when I think about that, I think about every knee shall bow. Matter of fact, Isaiah 45 and verse 23, every knee shall bow. There's going to come a time when, regardless of whether you've bowed a knee to the Lord now, there's going to come a time you will bow a knee. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm really getting ahead of myself. But I want you to think about this. There's going to come a time. Think about this. I was thinking about Job this afternoon. I think it was because the preacher mentioned him while we were eating. But Job had just lost everything he had. Just lost all of his possessions and his children. And you know what he did? Job 1, I believe it's verse 20. Job 1, verse 20. He went and worshipped the Lord. He bowed before God and worshipped Him. You know, many, many people today, something like that happened, you know what they'd be doing? Blaming God. Blaming God. Why did you do this to me? Well, what's the purpose in this? For heaven's sakes, don't you know? This hurt me very deeply. As if God didn't know that? As if God didn't understand what's going on? We don't blame God, we worship God. You get more accomplished with worship than you can blame. There's too many people going around shaking a fist at God. My Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. And listen, you can align yourself with the wicked all you want to and shake a fist at God. It doesn't do you any good. You can say you lost your faith and walk away from God. That doesn't do you any good. Well, God didn't do me any favors. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God does you a favor. Your heart's still beating.
Amen.
You're still breathing free air. The government hadn't figured out a way to tax that yet. I want to tell you something, folks. Your heart's pumping. Your blood's flowing. Your lungs are filling up with air. You can still do the things that you used. God is taking care of you. Don't be blaming God. Something tragic happens in your life. Don't blame God. Why did God allow a baby to die? Why did God allow this accident to take place? Why did God do this? And why did God do that? We just had a north of our hometown tragic accident. There was four teenagers that were killed instantly they pulled out onto a highway and pulled right in front of a semi-truck. The semi-truck was doing about 50, 60 miles an hour. Didn't even have time to put on his brakes. And that truck, pickup truck, just blew up. It was just pieces of it everywhere. And these four teenagers were killed instantly. And the first thing I heard after this took place, why would God allow that to happen? See, we're blaming God. We blame God for everything. We have tornadoes come through. Why does God allow that? We have a hurricane coming. Why is God allowing that? People have died. Why did God allow that? We have airplanes flying in the side of buildings. Where was God at? We blame God for everything. We have a blame God clause in our insurance policies. The thing of it is, why blame God? What we need to do is be like Job and worship God. We can accomplish more with worship than we can blame. As we fall before Him and humble ourselves before God and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but You have it all in Your hands because I believe in a sovereign God. I believe that God understands. I believe that God can give me the grace to go through this. And ultimately, one day, I can trust that verse that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. You see, I can trust You with all my heart and know that no matter what, it's for my good. Stop blaming God. One day, when we stand before the Lord, it won't be the presence of God, and it won't be looking directly into His face, but it'll be His name spoken by angels that will drive us to our knees, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Shall. By the way, it says here, all the earth shall worship. Now, I'm convinced all the earth's not saved. That's saved and lost alike shall worship. Every knee shall bow. The H is humility. Look over here in Psalm 95. It's that verse we started with. Psalm 95 and verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. This is an act of humility as we bow before Him. We humble ourselves. Let me ask you a question. Do you know some people in your life that's filled with pride? I know some folks that are filled with pride. Matter of fact, some of them are politicians. Filled with pride. Filled with the things that they've accomplished and they've done. Well, you know what? Can you imagine them bowing before the Lord? No, because they'd have to humble themselves. They'd have to humble themselves. It's an act of humility. Matter of fact, it says in Psalm 95 or 99 and verse 5, worship at His footstool. Worship at His footstool. Well, think about that. Where's His footstool? That's His feet. What we have to do to get to His feet? Fall down before Him. It's an act of humility to fall before the Lord and to worship at His footstool. Look, if you will, over here in 1 Peter. You might hold your finger there in Psalms before you go back. That 1 Peter, we're going back to Psalms. That 1 Peter, notice what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. It says this in verses 6 and 7. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now, what's that punctuation mark after time? Is it? I heard a colon. I think that's right. It's not a period, is it? Does that mean that the next verse goes right along with that? casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Folks, I want you to understand something. That's when you get down on your knees before God. That's where He puts His hand upon your head. And it's there that you're casting all your care upon Him. You're laying it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't care what people think about you. It doesn't matter what people are saying about you. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. This is between you and God. There could be a million people around there, but you're in the closet with God. You're alone. There's nobody else. It doesn't matter anymore. This is where you've forgotten about pride and what people think of you. You don't care what they think of you. This is between you and God. God's the only one that matters.
Amen.
And you cast all your care upon Him. It's at that point that you've humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God. I think about those preachers. I've had the opportunity to be at their ordinations. And we as preachers would gather around, we place our hands upon that preacher and pray for him. I think about that situation where we have our hand up. Listen, that's a lot like when God places His hand on us. And there we are with God's hand on us. And I'm so glad that His hand's on me, because that means He's paying attention to what I have to say. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It's an act of humility. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The I in worship is in holiness. Back here in Psalm 96 and verse 9, it says, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. This is another thing that we Baptists seem to have forgotten along the way, because we don't want to be branded by some other group. That we don't want people to think we're in some kind of holiness movement. But the fact of the matter is, holiness is something we need. And if we're going to worship God, it's in the beauty of holiness. And we need to get the junk out of our life. Be holy, because God is holy. And because He's holy, that's what we should want to be. We want to purify ourselves. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 that we don't know what we're going to be like, but when we see Him, we'll be like Him. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. That means we get the junk out of our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. We need to cleanse our hands. We need to get the junk out of our life. Listen, there's so many things we know are wrong, but yet we keep hanging on to it. And we justify it somehow. Well, preacher, you don't understand. It doesn't matter about what I understand or what don't I understand. It's what God understands. In holiness, the beauty of holiness. And by the way, do you realize that the closer you get to God, the more unholy you realize you are? Somebody said, I didn't think it'd work that way. Yeah, it does work that way. When you get in the presence of pure holiness, you realize how wicked and vile you really are. Then the P. Look back in Psalm 5. Psalm 5. And notice what it says here. My Bible keeps going to Job. I'll try to stay in Psalms, okay? Psalm 5. Notice what it says down here in verse 7. It says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. The P, it's personal. I want you to notice what it says here. This is so great, but as for me. It really doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. This is as for me. It was kind of like when Joshua stood up and says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, all the children of Israel, you can go and worship false gods, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, as for me, I will worship the Lord. As for me. All of you can go worship the idols, but as for me, I will worship. It's personal. It's personal. See, my worship is personal. I made it personal. Psalm 95:6, that's our memory verse. Oh come, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Oh come, let us worship. Will you bow before the Lord and worship Him? Will you make it a matter that's voluntary and not feel forced? Will you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and cast all your care upon Him? Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Our precious Lord, we do love You. We thank You for all that You have done for us. Thank You for this opportunity we've had to be in Your house. Dear God, I pray that this is not just another service. This is not just something that we've done tonight to feel like we've done You a favor. Lord, help us. Help us to have a deep-seated desire to worship You. Help us to have that deep-seated desire to lift You up. Help us to have the deep-seated desire to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And help us to cast all our care upon You. Please, dear God, work a mighty work. Please have Your will and way in our lives. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's no music right now. But if you need to come to this old-fashioned altar, now's the time to come and bow down before the Lord, your Maker.